Happy Saturday morning to you out there. This is Real Life Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall, and that's Beth Kuchenberger, and we hope you're having a fabulous Saturday. Good morning, Beth. How are you?
Good morning. Of course it's a fabulous Saturday. They just got up. They got the radio on. Their day's starting off on the right foot. It's early.
Well, for 25% of the U.S. population, it may not be that cheery after Storm of the Century.
But you know what? There's always good things out of hard things. I mean, I think that probably kept families in together.
Oh, my gosh.
I think
we are starting with your rose-colored glasses today.
I think they had unprecedented.
They had some good family time.
They probably all slept in the same room. I think that, you know, all of life comes to a screeching halt, and you realize what's most important,
yes.
And that's each other.
Our house
Bring
just
on
got
washed
into the Hudson River.
Bring on Stormageddon.
Oh, man. It was pretty crazy, even in Cincinnati.
Even in Cincinnati. It's snow.
It snowed. First October snow in like 20-some years or 20 years or something. So we just got a little teeny taste of the storm of the century, not like everybody else.
Any school closings?
Not in Cincinnati, no.
Hmm.
My mom lives in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Which, who would think that like a storm on the Atlantic coast, Cleveland, done, shut down, crazy. Erie, I have a sister in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Wind?
Well, it rained in Cleveland. It snowed in Erie. I think it did. But the wind was crazy. They shut down the airport. It's totally nuts. That's like a long way. I mean, I don't know how many miles that is, but it's many miles.
I mean, I think meteorology is fascinating in the sense that, like, it's just not, it's not intuitive. It doesn't make sense that, I mean, I've told you many times, we've been hit by a hurricane in Monterey, and we are hours from the ocean. How that works, how the weather system, you know?
And to see the satellite picture, I was looking at it on Monday night, to see the satellite picture that was just, I mean, you couldn't see 25% of the United States. It was covered by a giant storm. You couldn't even see under it. It was pretty amazing. I'm like you. I love that stuff. I love looking at storms and thinking about
weather. Would you be a storm chaser? Would you be one of those?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Do you like those cable TV shows?
That would be awesome. Oh, yeah. I mean, I say that now, and I would probably, like, run the other direction faster than anybody if I was near it. But we sit at our house.
Mm-hmm.
We sit on the front porch and watch storms come in.
I mean,
so we like that. So, see, there's your family time right there.
Storms bring people together. That's my new mantra. I certainly would like to be a storm chaser in the passenger seat, but I don't like driving in storms. I don't like snowstorms, rainstorms.
Yeah.
I'm just not a... I like ideal weather conditions.
Which is quite funny, because the other days of the week, you are, you know...
A ridiculous driver.
Trevor Bain down the highway.
That's probably why. I only know one speed really fast,
right.
And you can't do that in
but
storms.
That's right. And even in NASCAR, when the track is wet, they shut it down.
I mean, the last time I lived in the Midwest, that winter, I got 7 flat tires, which is part of our family lore, because I just kept running into curbs places.
Well, one of these days, we're going to get some type of social media going. We're going to be able to do a poll. I would be interested in doing a poll right now about who is the worst driver, your husband, wife, you know, son or daughter, you know, because there's this perception about things. So it would be interesting to know. People are probably driving right now somewhere at 8 in the morning, and they're thinking, yeah, my husband, he's a horrible driver. So I would like to get some feedback about that someday.
I this last week got in a little tiny little scratch, and I brought the car home, and I showed Todd, and he had his whatever reaction, husbandish-like reaction, and then I said, it's actually the mark of an angel wing. I should have died right there instead of crashing into that car. An angel came right between us, pushed us apart, saved my life, and that's the mark of the angel.
Did he buy this?
I don't even want to fix it. I just want to be able to, every time I look at it and think, an angel saved my life.
Yeah, don't spend the money. This is an angel wing.
This is an angel wing mark.
Wow.
He goes, really, because it's the same color green as the taxi cabs that you just about hit.
Yes.
But
now, Monday night, during the storm,
yes,
right, you went on with your life. That's right. So during the storm, and you spoke at a Young Life banquet. You were like the main speaker person, right?
I love Young Life. Young Life is how I met my husband, where he came to know the Lord, and it was so heartening to me. In fact, this one particular region where I was speaking, they were chatting about how there are more high schools in their area who want Young Life, and they currently have funding to be able to provide it. So we were doing some fundraising, and I just got up there. I did like a talk and then the ask, and I was like, where in the world? I told them I just went to the United States, and one of the first things I always think when I get here are there are so many places you can spend your money in the United States. I'm like, I don't know a single one that has an ROI that's eternal. I mean, like, you can spend your money in this organization, and then you got high school kids who are coming to know Jesus for the rest of their lives. Like, that's, like, the sweetest way to spend your money. Put the money down on the card.
That's a pretty good ask right there.
I was feeling quite passionate about the whole thing.
You can email Beth Kuchenberger to be the speaker at your next banquet. She's just like, give me the money.
I was very much like, bring it on. I had flown all day long. I didn't have a lot of grace in me. I was just kind of like, you people, are you kidding me?
Get you your got money, plenty of money. Write a check right now.
Forget
young
the new
life.
Shoes and the new car.
Right.
Let's save some high school kids. But it was really fun. I told a bunch of stories from when we were in high school, and it just made me encouraged that there are still little, if you're not familiar with them, they did like a little mini club where they played some songs, and they did this thing with the shaving cream, and then somebody gave like a 50-second skit, and right. I love that still works with kids, and I tell them it's about relationships, and relationships are frankly the best way for us to reach
when
anyone.
When you get in situations like that, you go to a banquet and they do something like that, or and you find yourself laughing, just like just real, like deep laughter, and you think, I haven't laughed this hard in a very long time. And that's something Young Life does so well, is to weave humor, real funny humor, into what they do. And it sort of disarms kids. It's like, hey, now I'm ready to hear what you have to say.
Well, I told them that part of the DNA of Young Life is that relationship is king, that relationship is more important than programming, it's more important than anything else, it's the most important thing, and how that DNA getting sewed into my heart, I've taken with me now around the world, that idea that the person is the most important part of what we do, and anyway.
Well, we kind of have a kid theme today on the show.
We do have a
Michael
kid
Shanley
theme.
Is going to join us, right, and you and Michael, you've crossed paths before.
I do like Michael. Yeah, I met him at a conference about a year or so ago. I was speaking at a conference, and he had just taken over, or I'm sure he'll tell us all about, the organization called the International Network of Children's Ministers. He was a children's pastor in Louisville, Kentucky, at a really large church there. He's got a fantastic bio that we can share a little bit more when he comes on. But I was immediately struck with the idea that he wanted to do ministry excellently and that he wanted to be as authentic as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to be his friend right off the bat, even if we didn't work together, just with that impression.
And what'll be so interesting, he's just got this really unique, interesting story.
Yes, he does.
And so, you know, well, I won't fill in the listeners, but you'll want to stick around and listen. He's not the typical person who got into children's ministry.
No,
he kind of had
not.
A little bit of a circuitous route.
Yes, he did.
So it'll be very interesting.
Yes, Dr. Hoffman.
It brings up was that a doctor word, circuitously?
I was just going to, call you out on that.
Okay.
I like it, though.
Okay, so it made me think of something.
Yep.
There's this question about if you find out that somebody else's kids have done something that they shouldn't have done.
Yes.
And you find out basically because your kid tells you and says, don't tell anybody.
Yep.
What do? Do you tell?
Tom, I've been having this discussion quite a bit lately because for some reason I found myself in the possession of information about more than one child who's the child of my friend. And we've been wrestling with what would we want to know? How would we want to find out if that was us?
Do you break your own kids' confidence? They told you in confidence.
It doesn't sound...
Put you right in the middle.
Right. In theory, it doesn't sound like it should be a big discussion. Like, the adults, we got to stick together. But in practice, it's a little bit harder. I'm afraid that I've probably erred too much on that. I'm sure the truth will come to light in their own way.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, let me be the bearer of bad news. That's my tendency, but I'm not sure it's all right.
Is there a sort of a theoretical line that you draw?
Yeah, if they're going to hurt themselves or others, I mean, that's like adult responsibility. But if they're not going to hurt themselves or others, and then what exactly is hurting themselves?
That's
because
right.
That's
could be lots of different things.
I know.
Yeah.
What about you? Would you, if Gracie or Charlie confided something in you, would you tell their parents?
More often than not.
You would?
Yep.
And would you tell Gracie and Charlie, hey, guess what?
Yep. Guess what? Sometimes there are things you don't keep secrets about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if it's one thing like she's going to break up with her boyfriend and they're having drama, no, but...
No, I know that, but...
Anyway, I'm sure this is nothing
that
I
listen. Michael Chandler.
We will. He will be on right after this. Hey, we're glad you joined us out there on Saturday morning. We hope you're having a good Saturday morning. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob, that's Beth, and Michael Chandler will join us right after the break. Join us then.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, Do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Ibram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
Welcome back. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Guckenberger. We hope you're enjoying your Saturday morning as much as we are.
We are enjoying
the
Saturday
morning. We're in the same studio, which is kind of fun. We've been sort of across the world the last couple of weeks. You know, last Saturday, the guest was in London, and you were in Monterey, and I was just sitting in the studio by myself.
I know.
So this is a little bit more fun.
This is definitely more fun. This just goes along with the theme. Stormageddon, everyone's all hunkered down. Here we are in the studio together.
Hey, we got to... I've been looking forward to this because... Michael Shanley is going to join us today, and,
yes.
And as we mentioned before the break, he's not sort of the typical I came to children's ministry kind of guy, and so he's got this incredibly interesting story. So I'm looking forward to hearing it. But Michael's an ordained minister, 14 years experience serving families and children. Most recently, he was the parenting minister at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, which is gigundous.
Yes,
if you're from, even if you're from Cincinnati, you know about Southeast Christian Church. I think they have like over 26,000 people or something.
Yeah.
It's gigundous. Now he serves as the executive director of International Network of Children's Ministry, INCM. And INCM exists to serve God and those called to serve his children. So Michael, I think, is with us. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great.
Hey, Michael. It's Beth. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Beth. It's great to talk to you all. It's an honor to be a part of your show. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Michael, we have so many things we want to talk to you about today. We certainly want to talk to you about INCM and their mission and vision and what you're trying to do. And I want to talk about the CPC and all kinds of things that we want to touch about. How we as parents can partner in being a part of children's ministry in our own day. And lots of things we're going to cover, but can we just start a little bit with your story, just to introduce you to our listeners, give them an idea of a little bit why you're such an expert in all things kid. But could you tell us a little bit about maybe how you came to know the Lord and what brought you into children's ministry?
Yeah, sure. If I should clarify, I appreciate you giving me the label of expert, but my expertise is more than anything God's used me to network with all these people who know so much more than me. So I typically, when I talk to people about children's ministry, I tend to point them to someone who I feel is doing it better than me or has done it longer than me. So I appreciate that. That it's an honor.
Mm-hmm.
To share my story, yeah, I didn't grow up. I didn't grow up in a bad home or anything. But by the time Rose and I, we've been married 17 years, and we have three kids, 15, 12, and 7. But by the time we were married, our parents were all in their third marriages. So while we didn't come from a really bad background, We didn't come from the type of background we tried to create for our children of having a Christian home centered on Christ. Where we have the priorities of God and family, church, and work, and in that order. I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17. I was searching for something to fill a huge hole in my life. I thought that joining the Marine Corps would make me a man and would be the greatest honor to, even if necessary, die for my country. I really remember thinking those things. And it was in the Marine Corps that I married my wife. We were very young. We were 19. And then when we were 21, our son was born. And after he was born, we got orders for war. And I remember being told that we could be deployed at any moment. And I was driving down the freeway in Southern California, and a pastor in Southern California named Greg Laurie was preaching the gospel. And he just laid it out real clear in black and white that, hey, look, you either give your whole life to God or nothing. And I had walked away from that very message when I was a young man, when I was 11 or 12. But the way he put it to me, and I guess the condition, the crucible that I was in the midst of was having our gear packed for war and having a new son and trying to figure out what it means to be a dad when I don't know that it was necessarily modeled for me as a child. God used all that to put me in a place where I accepted him and began serving the ministry almost immediately and haven't turned back. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much more.
Yeah. Do you find it kind of ironic, Michael, that growing up like that, that now you find your life being poured into kids?
Yeah, I do, and I think it's probably even more ironic that, in fact, whenever September 11th happened, the recruiter called to see if I wanted to volunteer to come back in, and I was explaining to them, well, I'm a children's pastor now, and I've got a family, and I'm doing all these things, and I told them, I said, if you need me, you know, if you're telling me I have to come, I'm there, but if you're asking me to volunteer, like, I've got a higher calling now, and I have to see this thing through with my family, and it's a huge challenge for our servicemen and women of all, you know, to be away from their family. And I wasn't eager to step back into that, if not necessary. But you know, what I told him was that I was in the children's ministry, and he was like, "What is that?" And he's like, "And you get paid for that?" And I told him, I said, "Yeah, I kind of went from being a minister of death and destruction to a minister of the gospel of peace to children," and that's not really something you typically draw a straight line to. But no, you know, God has done an incredible thing in my life and my heart. I grew up, you know, really kind of, I think, like a lot of young men, centered on myself and not on God, and. When I submitted my life to God and when I made a commitment to live for him, it was an all or nothing thing. And God has blessed our family tremendously. There's been great fruit. Our children, our two eldest children have made decisions for Christ, and my youngest one has told me she's ready to sit down and talk about being baptized. So it's been a huge blessing and an honor.
So what was your first step then? Once you left the military, how did you know you were called to children's ministry? How did that path begin for you?
Right. Yeah. Well, I knew I was called to ministry. In fact, when I was a young man and I had first walked away from God, I had felt called to the ministry then. But when I actually turned around some almost 10 years later and gave my life to Christ, we started serving at our church. And really early on, I was called to youth ministry, and I thought that I was going to be a youth pastor and work with junior high and high school students. And I did a lot of that volunteer work at our first church there in California on base. And then when I got home to Lincoln Hills in Corydon, Indiana, where I was from, we served in the youth ministry there, but started volunteering in the children's ministry almost because they just needed help as much as anything. And because I had kids in the program, I thought that I should do it. But God opened a door for me to serve as an intern there, and there had been a previous intern. He'd served there for a year, and his time with college was up, and he was leaving. And I loved the kids, and I enjoyed it. I thought, well, maybe this will be a step into serving in the full-time ministry, and maybe it'll eventually lead to being a youth pastor. But what I found was that I didn't necessarily want to be a youth pastor anymore. I really loved what I was doing, and I loved working with the children, and you know, when you look at investing your life and investing the number of talents and limited time you have to invest those talents, there's not really anywhere you can make a greater investment than in children, because the work you invest in children plays out for generations beyond yourself. And so I saw that as a wise investment of my time, and as fruitful, and it's fun. It's fun working with kids. So, yeah.
And it seems like now, Michael, I mean, obviously you said it at the outset that you've really been called into almost a different role now, a person who connects people who work with children. How did that happen? You're now the executive director of International Network of Children's Ministry. How did you go from someone who works directly with kids to now being someone who networks children's workers?
Sure. Well, it's totally God thing. It's kind of an interesting story. So to me, I think it's kind of funny how God creates things in our lives that lead us down a path, and we just walk in faith and then end up in this place where we're like, oh, wow, this is so much better than what I was thinking was going to happen. When I was serving at Southeast Christian Church, which you mentioned here in Louisville, I started out as a children's pastor, one of many, serving on the weekends, and I got called into the family ministry. And when I was serving in the children's ministry, I kept wanting to learn more about children's ministry, and I would go to these conferences, like the CPC conference that the organization I work for now hosts, and would meet with people and learn from them. But then we would leave the conference experience, and it was like a vacuum. It was like there was no one else to talk about children's ministry. And so I created a social network called cmconnect.org, which is a free social network for people who are called to serve in children's ministry. And I originally just invited like 100 or so friends, people that I'd met, just to ask them to have an online conversation about what this children's ministry looked like. Well, the thing exploded. Like it took off to, within 2 months, over 1,000 members, and now we're just shy of 10,000 members. And I guess that's 4.5 years ago. And that's happened with no advertising. It's been all word of mouth. It's all been just people talking about children's ministry in a free online environment. And so God used that and the experience of serving at a small church and then at a bigger church, and then really I think a willingness just to serve to bring me to this role that I currently have, where I do teach on children's ministry and I speak on children's ministry, but really my heart is this serve. It is this, I exist to serve God and serve those who serve as children. And more often than not, that's not me talking about how I do my ministry or talking about the best way to do ministry. It's connecting people with others who are like them, who are in a similar environment, who understand the same community, and getting them to sit down and talk about, you know, in an iron sharpens iron sort of way, what children's ministry looks like in their community. And that's really been the driving force of how I've learned how to do ministry, and it's where we really see a lot of fruit in terms of people who are doing incredible things. It comes from their willingness to talk to others.
Yeah, it reminds me of Malcolm Gladwell's book several years ago, Tipping Point, and there were certain kinds of people who created social, you know, networks and caused there to be, what's the word I'm looking for, contagion. And one of those kind of people was a connector. And it sounds that really that is how the Lord has used you, that you really are a connector to create this momentum within children's ministry. That's what he's called you to do.
Yeah, it's I read the same book, and that's really affirming. So I read that, that type of person really resonated with me. I was like, oh, that's me. My wife says, if you've seen the movie Up, and you know the dog, Doug, you know, the retriever, he says that's
right.
Me.
That's a pretty good picture.
I'm sitting under the porch just waiting to say, I know we just met, but I really like you.
One of the things that I was impressed by in this last year was watching some of the changes that you have implemented in this organization, the INCM, that has been in existence a long time before, you know, you came onto the scene. And I remember telling you in an elevator, it's fascinating when you take an existing structure and then you want to breathe new life into it, some of that resistance or some of the challenges that you face as you try to move something in a new direction. I'm wondering if maybe after we come back from the break, you would be able to talk to us a little bit about what it's like if somebody's, you know, taking over a responsibility at their church or their Christian school or in their community, and they want to kind of bring it to a new place. How exactly do you do a steer or turn a boat that size?
Sure.
Yeah. So we're talking with Michael Shanley, who is the Executive Director of International Network of Children's Ministry, INCM. And when we get back, he's going to talk a little bit about the vision for INCM. And I think we're also going to talk a little bit more practically about how you support a children's pastor in your local church. So Michael will be the man to help us do that. So join us right after the break. This is Real Life, Real Talk. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE.
Energy, immunity, vitality. We all want it. Hi, I'm Mike Buck for Nature Bee Plant Pollen. It's the answer. Try the Health Wonder from Down Under. Easy to digest because of our proprietary potentiation process. Broken cell wall technology makes it bioavailable so it goes buzzing right into your body. Stay mentally sharp. Meet the demands of the day with Nature Bee. Fresh from the hives in clean green New Zealand. A superfood. Free from petrochemicals, additives, preservatives, fillers, binders, sugar. No gluten, no dairy. Even diabetics can enjoy Nature Bee. Forget the handful of stuff you're taking already. Simple solution, 2 capsules a day of Nature Bee. You call toll-free to New Zealand, get a 6-month supply right now for $99.95 plus delivery. 3 extra months for free with Nature Bee's unconditional money-back guarantee. Come on, healthy goodness, praise in the Bible, 37 cents a day. Toll-free, 1-866-834-8355. Easier yet, collect your Nature Bee online at the website. Nature Bee, that's naturebee.com.
If becoming or staying debt-free is important to you, you're not alone. 10 years ago, I was worried sick, overwhelmed with debt, and so tired of not having enough at the end of the month to make ends meet. I was working a full-time job, but getting deeper in debt every month, and I hated being away from my children. I finally said, that's enough, and I made a decision to do whatever it took to get free from the terrible debt that was causing me so much stress. I'm Gina Neef, and I want to invite you to find the same financial freedom that I found. Not only did I pay my way out of debt, I was also able to leave my corporate job and work from home and be completely available to my family. For years now, I've worked part-time hours, making more than a full-time job would ever pay. I remember the pain of being in over my head, and I'll never forget the joy of becoming debt-free. That's why I show others how to do the same. If you're ready to work from home and find financial freedom, then I'm eager to show you how. Go to findingfreedomnow.com. Discover how you can get free from debt. Go to findingfreedomnow.com.
Mary could get away with being an awful person because she was a killer salesperson. So when Mary leveled outbursts at some poor soul, her bosses just looked away. As for her co-workers, they kept their distance. All but Sandra, who could manage a kind attitude for anyone, Mary included. No real surprise then that when Sandra had a personal crisis, who showed up first and helped the most? Right, Mary. Not long after, a new side of Mary emerged at work, too. A better side. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Odd as it seems, the best way to reap kindness, even from rock-hard soil, is to sow kindness in the first place, in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Kuchenberger on this beautiful Saturday morning. We're talking to Michael Shanley, who is the Executive Director of International Network of Children's Ministry, INCM. Welcome back, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Michael, one of the things that was struck me this last year after I wrote the children's book, Tales of the Not Forgotten, and I became more involved in children's ministry and were reading more children's ministry magazines and coming to conferences, this idea that I'm sure has been around that circle for a long time, but for our listeners that aren't directly involved in children's ministry, this idea that your children's pastor might spend, what, like 45, 50 hours a year with your child, just, and that's if you have pretty good attendance at church. And as parents, we spend far more than that, obviously, in a month with our children. And I was so moved by the idea that the children's pastors and children's ministers are thinking and trying to brainstorm and be outside the box and motivate and inspire and educate and equip parents to be engaged in the spiritual formation of their child the other 6 days of the week. And could you tell me, like, when did you remember first hearing that stuff come on the scene? And what is it that we parents can do to support what the children's pastor is trying to accomplish on a Sunday morning?
Yeah, sure. And I referenced the Marine Corps a lot because it was such a foundational experience for me. But one of the most powerful things in the Marine Corps was at a certain stage, I think it was when I picked up corporal somewhere in that area. So I had been in a couple of years and was watching things, how they moved, and studying and trying to figure out how all this worked. And it finally dawned on me that it wasn't all about my unit. It was all about this joint force, this joint work. I think we were in Thailand doing a show of force on the Cambodian border that it all kind of dawned on me that working together with others is what makes our military so powerful. So the Marine Corps, though I obviously believe the Marine Corps is the best, the Marine Corps with the Air Force and the Navy and the Army and the Australians and the Brits and the Thai Marines, all these different forces, is what makes our military so powerful, this joint task force idea. And I think that's true in our family, too. And when you read Deuteronomy 6, and you hear the Shema, this famous thing of Moses saying to, basically to paraphrase, say, impress the things of God upon the hearts and minds of the children, as you walk along with them, put them on your doorpost, that famous passage is like 6:4. He says that, and he doesn't say it just to the parents. He says it to the whole community. He says, it's Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Then he goes on and he says that, impress the things of God upon the hearts and minds of the children. So this idea, it's like it's an old idea, but we forget that we have to be working together. So it's church and family working together. And a good friend of mine, Reggie Joyner, has been, I think, foundational and really behind a lot of the family church movement and the importance of family and recommitting to family. He was influenced, I know, as many of us have been, by George Barna's work in a book called Transforming. I'm sorry, let's see. What is the name of the book? Raising Spiritual Champions. No, it's Transforming Children into Spiritual Champions by George Barna. And in that book, Barna researched and did a lot of statistics on what churches are doing with children and how children's spiritual formation is looking, and that's where that number comes from, that children's pastors and the church has maybe 40 to 50 hours a year to influence the children, but families have some 3,000 plus hours of unplanned time all year to impact kids. And so the pressure really isn't just on the parents. The pressure's on the church to do well with those 40 hours, but then to be able to influence the entire family through that time they have together to be able to impact an entire generation of people through family and church working together.
You know, it leads to an interesting question then. You know, for the listeners out there, as they work in tandem with their youth pastor, their youth minister, you know, what can they do to support or appreciate or understand or work in partnership with their children's pastor? What kind of...
How can we have a show of force?
Yeah.
I love that. I'm all about the military. I love that.
Yeah. Well, definitely. So being engaged in what's going on in the halls of your children's ministry, serving there. My family serves on the ministry that we used to help lead. We serve together as a family in the children's ministry. I would recommend anyone who has kids in the hall or grandkids in the hall or just cares about serving the church and cares about leaving a legacy to volunteer in your local church's children's ministry. You know, go to the, and don't go with some preconceived idea. Go to the children's pastor or the pastor of the church, whoever's in charge of that program, and ask them, how can I serve? How can I step in here? These are the talents I have. I'd like to do something. And then just invest some time. So that's the first thing. The second thing is helping to make sure your children's ministry team has good training. At our website, incm.org, there are conferences that we host. You mentioned CPC earlier. That's the Children's Pastors Conference. That's been around 34 years now, I believe, way before I was even called to children's ministry. I'd say way before I was born, but I'd be lying. Pretty close. it's important that the people who are serving our children's weekend have good training and that they're getting authentic training. There's a lot of training that is specific to using a certain curriculum or to doing children's ministry a certain way, but what we've found to be really productive is when people are trained on how to use God's Word, and then they can find a tool, they can find a curriculum, they can find a certain methodology that works for their denomination and for their unique teaching style. But we start, because we're not a publishing company, we start from a very objective perspective of let's just talk about what is working now in children's ministry. And one of the things we've done recently is we've released these Bright Spots videos, which I don't know if you saw the one we released that we had filmed a few, Beth, or not, but it's available on YouTube. You can just search INCM Bright Spots. You should be able to search INCM Bright Spots Beth Guckenberger and find yours. but it's just little short 2-minute clips talking that show these things that God is doing in churches and in ministries around the world, highlighting what bright spots, like what good ideas we can find so that people can replicate those great ideas and bright spots in their ministry.
Yeah, I like that. I like that sharing. I like that kingdom-mindedness. That was one of the things that struck me about the Children's Pastors Conference the first time I went was, having been to a lot of conferences, it was not like my thing is cooler than your thing, or worse yet, my thing is bigger than your thing. It was, this is what I did that worked. What are you doing that works? And there was a lot of collaboration. And I think that that's a spirit we need to have in all areas of our churches and our ministry, but I certainly very much appreciated it about the children's ministers that were involved in the INCM. And I know that part of that is because you're breathing that into the culture there, and that's what I was trying to call out on you that day, that idea that starts from the top, that idea that, you know, our conference isn't better than your conference, and right. That you were giving credit and shout-outs to other people who have other things that might be perceived as competitive, but instead you're seeing them as collaborative. And that bright spot is really, that is right in that vein of the culture you're creating with CM Connect and with INCM. Just this idea, like, we're all in this together. We've got to work together to raise up the next generation of Christ followers.
Yeah, thanks. You know, if you look at the church, how the church operates, so often the church can take a business perspective to how it operates. And my vision is that we really live out what Paul calls us to, you know, to love one another, to serve one another, to encourage one another, to spur one another on to a good work. And we do all those things outside of denominational ties. You know, when we go to we just did an event in Egypt in August, and you go there to the Middle East, and they'll tell you that there's not this distinction there between Catholic and Protestant. The distinction there is between Christian and Muslim, because they're at ideological warfare, in some cases literal warfare with one another, and their lives can be in danger. But the church in the Middle East understands that in a way that the church here in the U.S. and in most of the Western world doesn't. And we live out this reality that as if we should be competing with one another, or worse yet, we should be competing with the church that's just down the road that even teaches the same thing we teach. We have to work together. And through our organization, like, we've had this great thing where we see organizations. So I'll take, for example, our two platinum partners this year, highest level partners that we've ever been able to develop with our ministry, who've invested a ton to help us to fund our nonprofit. They're two publishing companies. Now, these two publishing companies you could look at them. You could say, well, they should be competing with one another, you know, for one another's stoke, because they're competing for church dollars, and you can get into all this stuff. But that's not their spirit at all. Both David C. Cook and Standard Publishing, they both have a willingness and a heart to serve the church, mm-hmm. and they're developing resources mm-hmm. that are intended to serve the church, and great books, great Sunday school curriculums. All this stuff they're developing is excellent. And they partner with us to help us move the ball forward.
Well, I hope you can stick around for just a few minutes after the break. We'd like to close the shop with you here of some of the things that you're doing. So this is Real Life Real Talk. I'm Rob, that's Beth, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach. But more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
This is Real Life Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guggenberger, and our guest today, Michael Chanlon, the Executive Director of International Network of Children's Ministry.
Michael, I just wanted to close this morning with just, like, what do you want? What is it that you wish that every parent knew? If, as they walk into the church and they got the, you know, they drop their kids off so they can go to church in the big service, like, what do you want from them? What could they do? What would be a home run for you in terms of moving that proverbial ball more forward in their own child's spiritual formation and then as a ministry in general?
Yeah, definitely. For the parents in the church, you know, I think that there's a huge need. And this is from my heart. Like, we have to lead in our homes and model an authentic, and when I say authentic, I don't mean perfect, because none of us are perfect, so quit trying to be perfect, an authentic and real faith walk with Christ. I mean, it's so essential that parents model that for the kids. It's okay if you don't have it all figured out. It's okay if you have doubts in your heart, but it's not okay to hide those things and to create this superficiality. We've got to be authentic. We've got to model authenticity for our kids, and we've got to show them the real Jesus, and our real faith mm-hmm. is messy, and I think that's a big deal.
Michael, you got a couple of things that especially leaders in the church can connect to, and so I don't want to let you go without reminding our listeners what that is. CM Connect, INCM. How do leaders in the church or people who are interested in church ministry, children's ministry, get connected with those?
Yeah, so cmconnect.org is a free social network for those who are called to serve in children's ministry. It doesn't mean you have to be paid staff. It's completely free. You fill out a few little things there. It tells us who you are, and then you're free. It's just like a Facebook-type site, but it's for people who want to learn how to serve kids better. There's tons of information there. And then the incm.org, that's information about our nonprofit ministry. We post information there about our upcoming conferences and trainings. If you were interested in helping us out in any of that, we are always looking for people who can help scholarship their children's pastor at their church to be a part of our ministry. We do two big conferences here in the U.S. One is in January, and it's at Disney World in Orlando, and the other one is in San Diego, and it's in February. And then throughout the year, we do conferences in Hong Kong, Egypt, Belize. We're coming to Mexico. We're actually doing an exploratory trip to look at doing an event with Beth and her ministry in November. So that's coming up next year. And then Haiti and Australia, New Zealand, UK, all over. So.
Yeah, the I in international is not just there for show.
No,
you
not.
You are an international place.
We are, and there's over 120 different countries represented in the social network. So it's a great place to learn from people who are doing ministry, and the challenges of what that looks like from all around the world. 70 plus denominations. It's quite an impressive group of people that are there. Yeah.
And when you serve other people in another country, you know, you go in thinking that you have something to offer them, but you end up realizing the byproduct might very well have been God's bullseye. You know, I'm doing a lot of Skype calls these days with children's ministries and, you know, Sunday school classrooms and after school programs. And when the kids pour themselves out on behalf of the orphans that I love, they end up feeling fuller than they did when they started. That's that crazy thing in God's economy, how He links us together, not only for the benefit of the one that we're serving, but for our own growth and development.
Yeah, well, we start, when we do any training overseas, anywhere, we start with the question of how may we serve you. So we don't go in with any type of agenda or program to advance, but to ask the local churches, hey, what are the needs of the local community? How can we help the children's ministry movement? How can we help teach trainers who can then build a legacy into this children, who can help to impart God's truth to this generation, which is one of our five initiatives.
Well, Michael, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Just a great story, not only just your story of how you went from a 17-year-old running to the Marines to helping children and children's pastors, but INCM is doing such great work as well. We are so glad that you joined us on the show.
Thanks. It's an honor to be a part of the show, and it's an honor to have you all as friends, and a blessing to so many people. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. Blessings to you.
Yeah, blessings to you. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Michael. I mean, I've liked him since the first time I interacted with him, Rob. I'm glad that we got to have him on the air. I think I think that I just like the idea that children's ministry is not child care, that it's not really, you know, Flannelgraph and Noah's Ark, that it's a place where kids can get another voice, different than the voices they hear all throughout the week that tell them all the things we know the world says. That this can be this, like, space where they learn and grow and be about the things of the Lord.
Yeah, I know that I'd love to meet and talk with them offline sometime, because probably our listeners aren't as interested as I am, but I would love to know, what's children's ministry like in Belize or Egypt? You know, there are some things that are particularly Western, and then there are some things that don't translate elsewhere. And I would just love to be able to, maybe I'll get on CM Connect, and I would just love to hear what's going on in the much bigger picture than just sort of my local church, whether it's 26,000 or 26 people. What is the Lord doing in children's ministry? He would be such an interesting man to talk about, a great resource to talk with that.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you do children's ministry without a budget? How do you do it without a facility? How do you do it without any paid staff? Those are some of those challenges they're facing in the third world.
Right. Well, not only in the third world. I mean, it's one thing to go to, you know, Southeast Christian Church. You have 26,000 people. Lots of resources. It's another thing to go to a local church, whether it's rural or suburban, urban, whatever, where you got 50 people and you got 10 kids or, you know, 15 kids.
They don't want to color for an hour.
That's exactly right. How do you make a meaningful impact even in a setting like that? And INCM can help churches figure that out.
They can. And again, I mean, he kind of downplayed it, but one of the things that made a big impression on me at the CPC was, he invited the head of another movement for children's pastors, and when he came on the stage, I could hear this kind of, I mean, collective gasp is a bit of an exaggeration, but this idea that most of the people in the room had to make a choice that year, were they going to go to this conference or their conference, and instead of it being an us and them or combative or competitive, he invited them up and just said, I want to honor what you're doing for children's ministry, I want to give a voice to it. I want to leverage our strengths together. I want to work together. This is what it looks like. We are all in the boat together. We've got to be reconciled. And it was such a fantastic model for the children's ministers in the room, thousands of them. Because I know in their own churches they have micro versions of that. You know, like the youth pastor has one budget that's different than the children's pastor, or the children's pastor has to fight with the whomever for space, or, and instead of saying, I'm going to protect and collect my thing in one basket. It was like, if the more I share and collaborate, really the stronger the whole piece is together. I just think it's a great message.
Yeah, and just practically speaking, as a dad whose kids are now a little bit older, Gracie is a freshman, Charlie's a senior, that working together with the people who, like you say, see your kids 40 or 50 hours, but you want that to be an impactful relationship, and it's another voice in your kid's life. The idea of, how can I partner with that person, right? I'm the person in charge of my son or daughter's spiritual formation, but how do I use people in that gathering to make an impact? And so that has been, I think, a real weak spot in a lot of places. Like, I hand them off and you do your thing, and then you hand them back and I'll do my thing.
Right.
To be able to put those forces together, like Michael talked about, would be a really powerful
show of force. I'm telling you, that's the phrase, show of force, from today for me. Like, how can I, you know, I'll bring my branch, you bring your branch of the military, and we're going to just stand against it. We're going to have a show of force, because I think every adult that drops a child off in children's ministry this coming Sunday, they have something to offer. What is it? Do they have financial resources? Do they have, you know, time? Do they have prayer, gifts of prayer? Do they are they musical? Are they artistic?
Just
are they
organizing things?
What are they?
Just
what?
Behind the scenes, sort of a back office. Can you just organize material? Can you generate a spreadsheet with stuff on it? I mean,
and then,
plenty of possibilities.
Grandparents, I mean, he didn't say it this time, but I've heard him interviewed before saying that grandparents are one of the richest resources a children's ministry can use, because they're patient and wise, and kids already find them non-threatening, and they confide in them, and children's ministry is not just for the one or two people that get paid to do it. It is really a whole church. It needs to be a whole church embrace that says we believe and want to trust our life with the next generation.
Yeah, you know, we have guests on. We just have great guests, and there are times though when you think, there's somebody listening who needs to hand this show off to someone else, like their children's pastor. They didn't get a chance to listen, or someone. And so I just want to remind people, BethGuckenberger.com. You can get a podcast of all of our shows. And so you can do that and go to your website and get a podcast there and hear what there is to here in the past shows. This might be something that someone would like to pass on to someone else.
I think so too, and I also really think to myself, this is the kind of show that should have a call of action at the end of it. So what is your call of action? Are you going to sponsor your children's minister to go to a conference? Are you going to volunteer once a month? Are you going to take more seriously the 3,000 discretionary hours you have with your child? Just what is your call to action?
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. We're going to have next week, you know, we've had this, you know, Michael sort of pushing the boundaries of what is good children's ministry within sort of the organized church here and around the world. Next week, we're going to have some interesting folks who are pushing the boundaries in a completely different way.
I said to you earlier, if we call them young people, that makes us sound really old. But like,
but they are.
Let's give a shout out to the young adults who are saying, you know, I'm interested in more than just collecting a nest egg or climbing a ladder. I want to wake up every day and feel passionate about what it is that God asked me to do.
Yeah, so Heidi Berkey's going to join us.
Discover
Kyle.
The Journey.
Yeah, Discover the Journey. And Kyle is going to join us as well. He's got Far-Flung Tin Can.
Exactly.
It's like, what in the world?
And they're actually just a sampling of thousands of nonprofits
and they are pushing through social media.
That's right.
How to connect people around the world for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so it will be a very interesting show with some very passionate, interesting
conversations, real life, real talk, baby.
Yeah. So join us next week. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob. That's Beth. Have a great week, and we will see you here same time, same place next week.
Stay warm.